From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Simone Rios. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the switch to electric vehicles is speeding up, and it's likely there's an EV in your future. There are already about 10 million battery-powered vehicles on the road worldwide. By the end of the decade, there could be nearly a quarter of a billion. But for many buyers, cost is still a barrier. The lithium-ion batteries remain the most expensive part of an EV, but that could soon change with a local assist. A Massachusetts startup claims it's created a new method for turning the materials in old, worn-out EV batteries into products that are better than new. WBUR's Bruce Gellerman has been reporting on this, and he joins us now to talk about it. Bruce, how we doing?
I'm good, Simon.
You know, I've got a drawer full of old lithium-ion batteries from cell phones, you know, laptops, rechargeable devices, and I don't know what to do with them, but apparently I do now.
Well, you're not alone. We've built entire industries using batteries, and only now are we thinking about what to do with the old ones. So it's sort of like as if we built a home without a bathroom. I mean, you got to deal with the waste. So it's a good thing that finally we're thinking of the full life cycles of these batteries.
I have to tell you, Bruce, chemistry wasn't my strong subject in school. You know, we're talking about elements and raw materials and toxicity. There's a lot at stake in getting these screens to light up and now our vehicles too.
Oh, you're telling me this stuff is really complicated, so you're not alone, and it's not intuitive. But for our purposes, what you need to know is that the energy storage devices that we've become increasingly dependent upon requires metals that are in short supply. They can be very polluting to mine, and it's largely controlled by the Chinese, which processes the mine materials that they get from overseas, and then it ships that processed material to battery makers back overseas. So you get these long, complicated, uncertain supply chains. And that's led to an effort by the Department of Energy through what's known as the Argonne National Lab in Illinois. And they've come up with a program to deal with the issue of reusing old batteries so that we can keep these materials in the country and reuse them. Here's the guy I spoke to. His name is Jeff Spangenberger. He's leading the effort at Argonne.
Without recycling, electric vehicles are going to be a challenge to get off the ground. And the recycling will enable this game-changing technology. And there are a lot of companies out there that are really making these really novel tricks to making it better.
I visited one of the labs in one of the places where they've gone from laboratory scale up to industrial scale. It's a place called Ascend Elements. It's a startup based in Westboro here in Massachusetts. And it's devised a new way of recycling old lithium-ion batteries. Here's Roger Lin. I spoke to him. He's the company's head of global marketing.
This is alchemy. Yeah, it's a bit of alchemy. We call it chemistry now, but yeah, alchemy, sure.
So alchemy, turning lead into gold, is that really what's going on here? It sounds almost too good to be true.
Well, it is a bit of alchemy, I got to tell you. You know, what they do is they grind up old batteries and then they remove the impurities using a series of acid baths. And what's left are metals that they can, what they call upcycle. Here's Lin again.
And a lot of what we do is essentially trying to reclaim those elements and return them back to a higher level. But we found that there were some interesting performance results after we tested the material.
So making recycled batteries out of these materials can actually make a product that's not just good as new, but better?
Yep, that's what the company says, and they've got independent research and peer-reviewed research papers to prove it.
Like how much better?
Well, a lot better. So, you know, one of the most important variables is how often can you charge a battery over and over and over again. They say they can extend that by about 30%, so the life cycle of the battery extends. And then they can recharge it 2 to 3 times faster. That's really important. I don't know about you, but boy, for me, that'd be a big improvement.
No doubt. And what does Ascend Elements have to say about this?
Well, Eric Grants, who was the co-inventor of the process, along with Professor Yan Wang at Worcester Polytechnic Institute, says they can recharge faster and longer, and they can do it over and over and over again. So it's not like you deplete the metals in these things. You can keep on recycling or upcycling these things. Here's Grants. He's now the CTO with Ascend Elements.
That's kind of like the biggest takeaway, because people automatically assume that recycled materials won't perform as well. But we've found that's actually the opposite.
Wow, incredible. At what point will this go from sort of being a startup level initiative to being a full-fledged company? You know, is it going to be profitable enough for investors to dig in?
Oh, that's a good point. Well, you know, I tell you, Ascend Elements, which I visited, they just moved into a new facility in Westboro, so they've gone industrial scale. They're in the process of building the largest facility in North America to deal with spent batteries, and that's going to be in Georgia. So they're upcycling battery metals rather than recycling, and they can generate what they say, and this is incredible, 3 times the profits compared to recycling.
Wow. So I can see why the alchemy allegory makes a lot of sense here. But is there any downside?
Well, in the near term, because EVs are only now taking off, the fear is that there aren't enough spent batteries to upcycle. And then there's the issue of becoming too successful. And that's a little mind-bending. So the price of lithium-ion batteries has been dropping precipitously. I mean, something like 90% over the last decade. And if things get much cheaper, the commodity prices for the metals won't justify the cost of reusing them. So you've got this paradox going on there. But right now, I mean, right now, we're at the edge of the known universe. Every single car company is going to get in the business of making electric and hybrid cars that operate on batteries.
Yeah, I've got my eye on a new EV truck. I can't decide between the F-150 or Tesla's Cybertruck if it ever becomes a reality. Bring it home for us, Bruce. What will this mean for those of us who plan to own electric vehicles?
Well, you and a lot of people here in Massachusetts alone, the goal is to have 1 million EVs on the road by the end of the decade. And get this, I mean, you're not going to have much of a choice because the state plans to ban the sale of gas vehicles by 2035.
That's just mind-blowing. It's hard to imagine. So you're saying it wouldn't even be an option for me in 13 years to get a gas or a diesel-powered truck in Massachusetts?
That's the plan, Simone. So, you know, it's a good thing that we're thinking now about how to make these batteries drive, you know, a future that's sustainable.
Well, I'm glad you're making us think about it, Bruce. Excellent reporting, as always. That's WBUR reporter Bruce Gellerman. Thanks for joining us today.
You bet, Simone.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is going on. The amount of COVID in the region's wastewater is dropping sharply, a further sign that the Omicron surge is easing in Massachusetts. But Harvard epidemiologist William Hanage warns we're not out of the woods just yet.
Even though cases are down, deaths in Massachusetts are still quite high, and hospitalizations, I think, have turned the corner, but they're not likely to be something which we can take for granted for quite a while.
Hanage says pandemic restrictions like mask and vaccine mandates should be temporary measures. Once the spread of the variant is curbed, he says we can ease up on them, with the caveat that safety measures can always be reinstated if cases start to rise again. And Boston Mayor Michelle Wu appears to agree. Wu says the policy requiring people in Boston to show proof of vaccination to get into restaurants, gyms, and other public venues will not be permanent. Still, she isn't sure exactly when the mandate will be lifted.
We will continue to take steps to balance that guarantee of safety through public health policies that are responsive and clear, as well as the need to provide support to our small businesses.
Wu says her office will focus on positive test rates and vaccination rates when considering the best time to roll back the rules. In other news, former Boston City Councilor Andrea Campbell is running for Massachusetts Attorney General. Campbell, a Democrat from Mattapan, says she's running for AG to push for, quote, fundamental change. WBUR reporter Anthony Brooks has more.
She was the first Black woman to serve as president of the Boston City Council, where she pushed for police body cameras and a civilian review board to investigate police misconduct. Campbell based her run for mayor last year on her own family's experience with the criminal justice system and advocated for progressive change.
Campbell finished third in the mayor's race behind Anissa Asaibi George and the eventual winner, Michelle Wu. And finally, a majority of Massachusetts prosecutors and sheriffs are backing a bill in the legislature to give undocumented immigrants access to driver's licenses. They cite road safety as the reason why. Now, some business leaders are also pressing state lawmakers to take action. Roberta Fitzpatrick is vice president at Arbella Insurance. She spoke yesterday at an online briefing aimed at garnering more support on Beacon Hill.
It really just helps ensure that those behind the wheel are road tested and have the required insurance to protect all of us. There's a clear correlation between issuing driver's licenses to unauthorized immigrants and a reduction in particular in hit and run accidents.
Backers of the driver's license bill need a thumbs up from the Joint Transportation Committee by early March to keep the bill alive. Governor Charlie Baker has already stated his likely opposition to the bill. And Baker's opposition to the driver's license bill and other major policy proposals could mean advocates are waiting for a new governor before big changes can happen. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, Boston's dynamic duo of public broadcasting, I'm Simon Rios. Hasta mañana. Hey there. A lot of people listen to Consider This at the end of the day, and NPR is up first in the morning. But a lot of the actual news happens in the middle of the day, and the team bringing the best information about that news as it happens is the team behind WBUR and NPR's show Here and Now. And of course, there's a podcast version. So want more of the top news reporting from public radio around the country? Check out Here and Now. Find it in the same place you found this podcast, wherever you listen. Just search Here and Now.